Okay, well, starting in Galatians chapter 1, and I'm just going to be reading before I start. I'm only going to post certain things here. Let's get to see everybody. All right, Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And to all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, we're going to set some things down here that's based upon this statement. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Let me tell you something about the grace of Christ. You can only be in the grace of Christ if you are resting in it. In other words, if you are depending on it. If you are striving to make yourself better or to make yourself acceptable to God or to get him to admire your performance, then you are not in the grace of Christ. That is another gospel. Any means of looking to better yourself apart from Christ is another gospel. Are you clear on that? Anything that depends upon you or your effort means that salvation depends upon you and not Christ. What do dead men do in the grave? What do? They rest. It is no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. This is our gospel. Everything that we do in the grace of Christ, through the grace of Christ, we are empowered to do of God. In other words, it is the Spirit of Christ doing those things using our bodily members. Your hands, your feet, your tongue, your face, whatever of your body members he's using, your mind, it is Christ doing the works, not you. You are dependent on anything that pleases God for Christ to do through you. You are a yielded vessel. This is what obedience is about, yielding your hands, your mind, your fingers, your feet to his service, to his will. Because the minute you take them and use them for yourself to accomplish what you think should please God, that's another gospel. Is everybody clear on that? Doesn't matter what it is. You'll see that Paul uses circumcision as an example. But it's all about anything that you would do apart from the grace of Christ is self-justification, and that is another gospel. So he says, let me read this again, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Removed from him that called you. Removed from him that called you. Now think about it. You called out to God for help, right? You declared your need for a Savior in receiving Jesus, right? You admitted that your life was a shambles without him and that you needed him. You admitted you could not save yourself. All of this is part of your repentance. Amen? You have made the confession that apart from Christ you can do nothing. And Paul says to them who have did the same as we have done, right? did the same thing we did, call upon Christ to be our Savior, so that we are resting in the grace of Christ and dependent upon Him and not ourselves. Paul says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, because it's not good news. That's the point he's making. It's not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now listen to what he says. This is how strong an admonition he has. But though we, Paul said, even if it's me and the people with me, even though we, or an angel from heaven even, preach to you another gospel other than the one we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He goes on to say, as we have said before. So now I say again. So say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. In other words, those two things. If anyone preaches to you a gospel other than the one we first preached to you, if everyone preached to you a gospel other than the one you first received, same thing. Let him be accursed. What does the Apostle Paul think should happen to anyone teaching Christians a different gospel? One where they are dependent on anything else other than Christ. One where they are dependent upon anything else than the grace of Christ. One where they are not at rest in Christ. One where they are not submitted to Christ. Let him be accursed. All of these ministers that so many Christians would want to make excuses for, let me tell you something. Paul the Apostle would make no such excuse for them. He's not talking about people who are being misled. He's talking about those who are actively engaged in misleading, and there's a clear difference. There's a clear difference. That's the difference between those who propose to teach and those who think they're trying to learn. Paul says he marvels at them that they would leave the grace of Christ to listen to these idiots. But for these idiots themselves, he says, let them be accursed. How many of you see a clear difference between those who are being misled and those who are doing the misleading? In Paul's estimation. So, as we have said before, I say now again, if any man preach to you any other gospel than you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I would not be the servant of Christ. You know, basically he's telling you there, I don't care what you think about it. It is what it is. How many of you can see that's what he's saying? I don't care what you think about it. That's irrelevant. It is what it is. In other words, I'm not going out of my way to persuade you or offend you. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not trying to please you, and I'm not trying to not please you. I'm just telling you the truth. Because if I was worried about what you thought about it, then I wouldn't be the servant of Christ. How many ministers do you hear speaking that way today? But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel was preached to me is not after man. Now listen to what he says. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. For you've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, now notice even what he speaks of his salvation. As Paul said, but when one day I woke up and I smelled the coffee and I joined the right team, I figured it out. That's not what he says, is it? But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither when I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Look at all that he's saying here. You think, all right, let's look at the reality. You think, I got this from Peter and Paul. I mean, Peter and Matthew and James. No, I didn't. I didn't go and talk to those who were apostles before me. I didn't learn it from a man. I didn't just wake up and get smart one day. God called me. And at the proper time, when it pleased God, he revealed his son in me, that I might preach him to the heathen. So I, you know, if that's how I received it, by revelation of Christ, why should I confer with flesh and blood to do what something that was not flesh and blood told me to do? You see the groundwork he's laying here? This gospel, I wasn't taught it. I didn't receive it of a man. Neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole point is this, is going from the physical and the things that you would depend upon in the physical to the spiritual, to the spirit. God is a spirit. We'll quote from what Jesus said, John chapter 4. God is a spirit and seeks those who would what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. Paul goes on to say, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles I saw none except James, the Lord's brother, who wasn't one of the original 12, by the way. Different James. Now the things which I write unto you before God, I lie not. Remember how he started that? I certify to you what I preach I received of God, not men. And the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, but was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Now, why is he making all that point, that he didn't meet anybody except Peter and James, the Lord's brother, and how his face was unknown? He wants you to know that this is not a cult. You understand what I'm saying? This isn't a cult. This isn't a Jewish cult that I'm furthering. I didn't join a cult. I didn't join something of the flesh or some organization some other man started. There's only one gospel. It's for all, everybody. It's not just for the Jews. I'm not over here spreading to you Jewish myths. I didn't join no group of people. I joined Christ. He revealed himself to me by revelation. And it is that revelation that I take. When I went to Jerusalem, I longed to see those other people. But I only met Peter, and because we had this in common. But I didn't get this from them. And I can certify to you, I lie not. Nobody in Jerusalem knows my face. You see his point he's making? They had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Now, why did he tell you all of this? He wants to make it very plain that this gospel is not of men. Men don't own it. There's no group who can put their brand on it. And I don't care if they're Jew, Gentile, Syrian, who they are. Nobody owns this. Nobody created it. Nobody started it. God did. This is the truth. You see a little edge in here where he's trying to make the Gentile churches like the Galatians understand that they are not secondhand citizens to God. Because what is he fixing to talk about? You read Galatians as well as I have. He's fixing to talk about the circumcision cult, right? Basically, those who say in order to be close to God, you've got to become a Jew by the flesh, right? You've got to be justified as a Jew in the flesh. You see the purpose of him laying this down? This doesn't have anything to do with being a Jew. God is a spirit. What I received by revelation of Christ. I wasn't taught this by any man or any group of people or any ethnicity. Me being a Jew has nothing to do with the fact that I'm preaching the gospel. I'm preaching the gospel that I received by revelation. I'm teaching you, I'm sharing with you the gospel that you already accepted. That comes through Christ, not men, not ethnicity, not Jews. You know what I'm saying? That's why he takes time to tell people this. Then he says, 14 years ago, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. I went up by revelation. And it's important for you to know that too. In other words, the church in Jerusalem didn't call me and say, come appear before us. No man told me to go. I didn't take any man's order, those who were apostles before me or otherwise. I went by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. In other words, now he makes you know that it matters what they think, because they too were the apostles. And if he had missed the boat somewhere, he wanted to know. So by revelation of Christ, he went to them. Because this matter had to be settled for everybody about circumcision. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, if the fathers of the church didn't compel him to be circumcised, what's going on here? And they were Jews. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, which came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Put us back under the law, right? And that's what we started out talking about, right? If you leave the grace of Christ and try to justify yourself or do anything of yourself, you've stepped off into another gospel. You've stepped back into the bondage of the flesh. Anything that depends upon the effort of the flesh, you've stepped into another gospel. you step back into bondage. He goes on to say, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with me, with you. In other words, we didn't give in to them anything, these circumcisers. You know, those who came in privily among us to try and start trouble. Because believe me, even if Titus wasn't compelled by the, if he wasn't compelled by the apostles when he went with me to Jerusalem 14 years ago, who are these people that are trying to compel you now? That's the point. But those who seem to be somewhat whosoever were, it makes no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. And he's talking about the apostles, those who seem to be something. They didn't add anything to me. Why is he telling you this? Is he dishing the apostles? No. He's trying to let you know that what he had by revelation of Christ. It didn't come by the apostles. He wants to make sure that the Galatians understand it's not about having a link to the Jews. These people themselves didn't have Titus, who was a Greek, be circumcised. So who are these people? If the apostles didn't send them, and the message I received didn't come through the apostles, it came through by revelation of Christ. And even when I went to talk to them, they didn't add anything to me. Then where's the circumcision stuff coming from? But contrary-wise, when they saw those who seemed to be something, in other words, the apostles, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. In other words, Peter was appointed the head of the church in Jerusalem. And Paul's making the point, see, it's a separate thing. God sent me to the Gentiles. It wasn't Peter who sent me. It was God. See, all of this is making that same point over and over again, isn't it? And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. We'll deal with the church in Jerusalem. You go to the Gentiles, just as you're doing. Now, the only charge they gave me, only thing that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do. That's the only thing they told me to do. Now, when Peter came to Antioch, how many of you know where Antioch was? That was the first church outside of Jerusalem, Antioch. Antioch was in where? How many remember where Antioch was? It's in Syria. Right? When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Now, why did people, let's examine this. Why did Peter eat with the Gentiles? Because his initial understanding was, because remember, he was the first one ever to preach to a Gentile. And the Holy Spirit had fell upon Cornelius and his household. And God had told him, rise, kill Peter and eat. Talking about partaking of the Gentiles, which formerly would have been unclean according to the law and according to the flesh, but now according to the Spirit, through the blood of Christ, has been made clean, and you shall not call unclean what I have made clean. And when he saw that the Holy Spirit was given to them before he had even finished preaching, he said, well, these should be baptized then. What's to keep them from it? He acknowledged, right? So eating with them was no big thing to him. Because he's seen them as equal. And that's what he's seen in his heart. But before that, certain came from James. People came from James. Remember James, the Lord's brother, right? From the church in Jerusalem. He did eat with Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. In other words, it doesn't say. Now, listen to this. People have tried to make something out of this that doesn't exist. Remember, they told Paul that he should go to the heathen, Gentiles, and that they would go to the circumcision. All right? Well, being of the circumcision doesn't mean that you were not a believer. It means you are a believer. It's just the difference between those who were Jewish believers and those who were Gentile believers. This isn't trying to say that James led the circumcision party and wanted people to be circumcised. If you look at Acts 15, you'll see exactly contrary to that. All James said is they should stay away from blood and sexual impurity. And why should we put this heavy yoke on them that we weren't ever to bear? James agreed to all of that. He's not going to turn around and say, yeah, well, now they should be circumcised. But certain men had come from James. And remember, to most of the Jews in Jerusalem, even though that they believed that Gentiles were saved, they still had the stigma, didn't they, of eating with Gentiles. And Peter had the same stigma. It was fine when there was no other Jews around to judge him. But when certain other Jewish believers showed up, he was more worried about what they thought. And what did he do by withdrawing from the Gentiles? He withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. It doesn't say that they did even anything bad to him or that they judged him at all. He was worried about what they thought instead of what the Gentile believers thought. And there he was one day, every day, eating with them, and they're fine. And now all of a sudden, because some people come from Jerusalem, some other believers, now they're second-class citizens. Peter withdraws from them and doesn't eat with them anymore. See, that's a hypocrite, isn't it? He led them to believe they were second-class citizens, that Jewish believers were somehow better. And that's the kind of thing that leads to people trying to justify themselves according to the flesh. Now, that wasn't his intention. The reason he did it, he didn't want to make the Gentiles feel like second-class citizens. Or that they were less because they were not Jews. That was just the byproduct of him worrying about what the Jews thought. He was more worried about what the Jews thought than what God thought. And you know what? It's quite possible that the Jews didn't think anything about it. You know? But it's just what he knew, his perception. Well, they came from James in Jerusalem. You know, the Jews in Jerusalem still do not eat with Gentiles last time I was there. Maybe I should separate myself. And so Paul calls him on it. And the other Jews disassembled. In other words, the others who had been following Peter's example and eating with Gentiles, the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. Even Barnabas was pulled back and joined Peter in leaving the Gentiles alone when the other Jews showed up. And when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, which is God looks at the heart, not the flesh, right? I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? If it was okay, in other words, for you to eat with them before, now why are you compelling them to separate? As if there's a difference between us. You see it? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, shall no flesh be justified. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Christ Jesus, even we who have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no justice flesh be justified. You see what Peter did by separating himself? He was trying to justify himself in men's sight, not God's. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found to be sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the thing which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, Peter, by acting according to the law and the customs of the Jews, went back to depending upon the flesh. And what did he do? He made himself, because the law judges flesh, he put himself back under the law. He's rebuilding the very thing he said was dead in the grave with Christ. How many of you see that? For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I. This is what we began with talking about, right? It's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in us. He uses your members, right? It's not your will anymore. Your will is dead. It's not your desires anymore. Your desires are dead. That's the only way you can rest in Christ and be in his grace. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now, live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of Christ, the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I've said this over and over again. If you could do it yourself, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. And it doesn't just apply to Peter here, eating with the Jews and then leaving the Gentiles. And it doesn't just apply to circumcision. It applies to anything that you would do apart from the grace of Christ. Anything that you would do by yourself to glorify yourself, to uplift yourself, to make yourself better, to make yourself approved of God, to make yourself accepted of God, to anything that you would take pride in according to the flesh. Can y'all see that? Anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Because if it's not a work that is done by the Spirit of Christ through your body's members, then it is useless in the kingdom of God. It will not have eternal value. Who is glorified by what you do? Because if it's you or men, why did they wanted to get them circumcised? Paul says it's because they want you to be zealous for them, their idea. It's the same reason. Why do these churches want you to get rebaptized when you come to their church? When you say you've been baptized in the name of Christ? Because they want you to be in service to them. Their way of baptism will ensure that. You understand? Then they own you. Anything that you would give them, they'll take. And to them, it's a sign of ownership. That's why they vote on church members. If you give them the right to vote whether or not you're a member of the church, then you're a member of their church, not the body of Christ. You get it? They want you to be zealous for them, not for Christ. They want you to join their club and be indebted to their club and owe their club and be held close by their club and in bondage by their club. That's why they have their peculiar doctrines. That's why they have their peculiar practices. That's why they are not in line with the scriptures. because the devil would rather you be in bondage to flesh through to him through flesh than to find freedom in the grace of Christ. And that's why any of it, I don't care what it is, that's another gospel. And we need to understand that. And I've shown you how easy it is for anybody to be misled by that. Even Peter. The minute he started to fear men more than God, that was no longer the gospel he was reflecting, huh? That's a good place to stop. Questions or comments, please feel free.